Many Portlanders have had enough and are calling for the defunding and disbandment of the Portland Police Bureau. One of the organizations that has been advocating for these changes is the Portland African American Leadership Forum, also known as its acronym, PALF. Today, I spoke with the Portland African American Leadership Forum's Executive Director, Joy Elise Davis, about the grassroots organization's Defund the PPB campaign and how said funds could be reinvested in the lives of Black, Indigenous, and people of color community members. Now, here's my conversation with PALF Executive Director, Joy Elise Davis.
Joy Elise, do you mind sharing with folks who don't know, especially folks in the community who don't identify as someone of color, can you explain what PALF is? What do you all stand for?
So PALF stands for the Portland African American Leadership Forum. We are a grassroots organization that's Black-led. We are actually 11 years old. Gosh, time is flying by. Yes. But our mission is something that I'm really excited about. Our mission is to help the Black community imagine the alternatives that we deserve and build our civic participation and leadership to achieve those alternatives. So we're very much rooted in this concept of just radical Black imagination and how powerful it is to take a second and vision together. Kind of similar to what we've seen, you know, in sci-fi and if you can dream it, but taking a next step further is that all of our great policies, ideas, programs really start with imagination, and if we're able to cultivate that space and create a space for Black Oregonians to dream big, we can create the things that we need through other self-determination efforts and programs and projects.
That's fantastic. And obviously we're here today to speak about defunding the campaign to defund Portland Police, the Portland Police Bureau. But before we do that, I'm really curious, can you go into what you mean about imagination and creating a safe space for everyone, particularly Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the Portland community?
So for us, we have this lens for the work that we do. It's called a Black Queer Feminist Lens. We did not create it, but we were really inspired by organizations around the country who use it as an opportunity for them to hold themselves accountable, but also be really clear about who they center. So when we create our safe space for this dreaming, for this imagination, we center Black folks in our community that are most impacted by the issues that we care about. We think about centering folks who are gender nonconforming, who are trans, who are queer, who are femme, centering folks with different abilities and who are elders, who are immigrants and refugees. And when we think about Black, when we say Black, we're looking at the entire African diaspora. So we're thinking about what it means to be in solidarity with other Black folks who, you know, who are immigrant and refugees, who are descendants of enslaved Africans, like myself, who came to this country through the Caribbean, or who are Afro-Latinx. It's this idea that we all share similar struggles, and that really when we talk about what it looks like to be free, we have to think about all of those folks.
That's fantastic. Thank you for explaining that. Can you talk about why there's a campaign, and there's a campaign coming from your organization and others, such as Unite Oregon, which I, from what I understand, you both as organizations have been working together. Can you talk about why then there is a campaign to defund the Portland Police Bureau, which as an entity is supposed to ensure safety, and yet organizations such as your own are asking to defund it, and in some cases it sounds like completely abolish the PPB?
Yeah, great question. We what we've seen across the country is that, you know, Black folks are living, you know, in everyday reality of being subject to just police occupation. We experience violence for a lot of us on the daily when it comes to police. And police have somehow been deemed this moral authority of how we are able to act in public, how we're able to move around public space and be our authentic selves. And if I'm honest, when we first started as an organization, we didn't necessarily have the perspective of defund or to abolish. We, for years, you know, we pushed reform like other amazing organizations that we respect. In 2015 to 17, we worked on our people's plan, where we were able to vision with folks. We visioned with nearly 500 Black folks in Oregon and in Portland Metro in particular. We talked about things like the administration of justice. We talked about things like Measure 11 and prisons and how we were policed. And we came up with a list of recommendations for reform in that space. But our analysis have changed, and I think that is something that a lot of us in this moment are reassessing. Our ideas of policing, our understandings of public safety, and being an organization that is rooted in imagination, we truly believe that we can imagine an alternative. We've learned from great folks as well. So how we came about getting our list of demands at Unite Oregon, a lot of it came with learning and listening. There's some powerful work that has been done over, you know, a very, very long time. Some groups like Don't Shoot Portland, some groups like nationally, like Movement for Black Lives, and folks leading to uprising in Minneapolis, the Black Visions Collective, some of those folks have been, you know, pushing this agenda for quite a long time. And I think this was the moment where it clicked for us as an organization. Unite Oregon is an organization that we've been, you know, working with and have deep respect for a very long time. And it was a natural fit for us to come together and co-create a list of demands and co-create a list for us to push together.
Can you talk about how PALF asks, or rather demands, the $50 million to be reinvested into Black, Indigenous, and communities of color?
Yeah. I mentioned the People's Plan earlier. So in 2017, we released a report of a vision for Black Portland. We talked to nearly 500 folks, and they came up with over 65 action items. Some of those action items are already working. Folks are working on it right now, and they've got some wins, but some of those ideas still have not been started yet. So there's a list of recommendations that money can go to right now. We're in a COVID emergency. So as we think about how we reinvest into Black futures, I can imagine, you know, funds going over to the housing side, knowing that, you know, folks are not able to pay rent right now due to this crisis. What does it look like to take care of Black folks from that particular space? There's not a shortage of ideas. I think part of that reinvestment also looks like, what does it look like to build anew? So we're definitely calling for some of those funds to be directed towards imagining a new future for ourselves and imagining a new system that allows for us to be made whole and to be cared for by a response team and not be violently surveilled, not to be treated like we are less than human. So some of that, like I said, is going to be going to some of these past recommendations. Folks for decades, whether it's Urban League with the State of Black Oregon and other organizations who've been demanding and have great ideas for years, and then that's building the new. I also think while we're talking about building the new, this is an opportunity for us to go bold and to be big in the way that we are designing this new future. And there's an opportunity for us to have a public process where we are thinking through, what does public safety look like for us and what do we need?
For sure. And while there are obviously thousands of people in Portland who are supportive of this campaign, there are definitely folks who are going to be critical of this campaign. Can you talk to those folks who are currently feeling that getting rid of, or defunding both, defunding which could ultimately lead to getting rid of the Portland Police Bureau, how that could cause a safety concern? Can you speak to those folks who believe that the police force have some sort, have a place in keeping the public safe?
Yeah, for those folks who have questions, I encourage folks to do some research. And I'm not sure that you haven't, but I am a strong believer that we need to listen in this moment right now, and that there's a time for criticism and there's also a time for listening and learning. So what I'm hoping is that folks are able to learn from great groups like Movement for Black Lives, to learn from groups like Don't Shoot Portland, to learn from folks in Minneapolis who's dreaming up something really big and has some really strong commitments from their city council to change the way that they're working. But I also want folks to think about some other neighborhoods right now that are currently in America that are not, you know, living with this constant threat that we're living with in Black and brown neighborhoods. they're, if you go to middle class and upper middle class spaces, you know, they get to walk around their community without constant threat that they're going to be harassed by police. They get to, they get to live. They get to have resources. In my perspective, the healthier and the stronger neighborhoods have access to resources. They don't have more cops. So I'm asking folks to really do some research and some learning. At CALF, we're going to be working with some great educators over the next few months to have some discussions and to lead folks through a process of understanding. And I hope that folks are willing to go on a journey with us and just learn. And there's been some great folks. I would recommend looking up, Josie Duffy Rice is such a great resource. The founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, look at the many work that they've been doing as individuals and how they've been carrying this work forward in their own personal lives. There's not a shortage of great ideas and great books and scholars in this space that can be used as a resource in this moment. There's a great book that I would also recommend to folks who are on the fence. It's called The End of Policing by Alex S. Vitale. It's a great book by a scholar in Brooklyn who's been researching this issue for a long time and sharing, you know, just the fact that the way we do police training and reform just hasn't worked. And to me, what I'm looking for are solutions that are working in this moment, and I just know we can dream of something different.
Thank you, and thank you for those book recommendations for folks who would like to become more educated on the subject. Be patient with this question if you can. Playing devil's advocate here. Just because I know this type of thinking exists, I'd like to address it. And it's the same mindset that people used with our former president. For folks who are still critical of this current campaign, and I am sure there are folks who think this, that because our new chief who has currently taken the position of chief of the Portland Police Bureau is a person of color, specifically a Black person, I believe is how he identifies, and there are officers who are not white. There are folks out there who are going to make the argument that because there's a person of color in charge and that because there are folks of color who are in the police force, there is a chance for reform. There is a chance to make the Bureau better rather than disbanding it. Can you speak to that type of thinking?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I want folks to do some learning and understanding around how the culture of policing goes way beyond whether the police chief is Black or white or many other races. We've had a Black police chief in the past, not too long ago. I'm looking to other cities, places that I grew up in that my friends and family have lived in. You know, they've had police chiefs, and that doesn't necessarily mean the culture is going to change. We're dealing with a culture that is so ingrained with violence that it's impossible to think that one person is somehow going to magically make that different. So for me, I would say to look to other cities. I personally have some cops in my family. My father is a police officer, a retired police officer, and he too believed that diversity, you know, was going to be one of the answers to change a culture. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves that we tried many different things. We tried, you know, inclusion and diversity in this space, and we still get a culture that is very toxic, that is very violent, that harms folks. And I'm disappointed in, you know, folks who are unwilling to try something new, and that they are okay with the amount of Black bodies that are dying, that are murdered because of this institution, this culture that goes, you know, beyond Portland's police and goes into the entire country's police department. So from my perspective, I'm not interested in reforms for friendlier cops and trying out new things that ultimately still result in the killing of Black people. It breaks my heart that folks are willing to put their own comfortable feelings, you know, higher than the lives of human beings. It appalls me. So I'm not interested in those things. I am interested in creating new systems. And America is relatively a young country. And I say that to say that there was a time before we had police in this country, and there's going to be a time afterwards. And I think some folks, they get nervous because they don't know anything else besides policing. And we can have new response teams. By the data that I've been showed, you know, police don't often prevent violence. They come afterwards. So when we think about it from that way, I would like a system that has a response team that leads with care, that leads with understanding, that is truly trained for the type of issue that they're being sent on to help to help fix and to help alleviate stress and not showing up with violence. So for me, I would say do some research. I would say please look at data to support your ideas and your thoughts. But also think about the many, many, many Black folks who've been killed by this system. And I want you to value those lives more than you value you feeling comfortable.
Bringing in other perspectives, because I believe that's very important to this discussion so that everyone can participate. Can you talk about those who are still going to be critical and possibly fearful about the idea of getting rid of the police force in Portland? Because whether or not we like it, unfortunately, we're all still human and there will be violent crimes. Can you talk about other ideas that PALF or other organizations have to create a different sort of system to address those violent crimes?
Yeah, that is such a great question. When we look at just the data nationally, most of those violent, serious offenses that we fear, which are valid fears, I first want to say that, but that only amounts to about 5% of the arrests that are made per year, in the sense of, like, it's 95% of the things that folks are showing up to are things like traffic violations, cannabis possessions if you're outside of Oregon and in those states that are still, you know, dealing with that issue. Unlawful assembly, anything as small as removing shopping carts from the premises, you know, like noise complaints. 95% of those things can be handled by another person. Those 5%, the murders, the rapes, the aggravated assaults, that's going to be that space where we get to vision and dream of what that would look like. I envision whatever system to deal with those particular ills be something that has, you know, clear oversight, where it's not just possible for someone to abuse the system as a police officer, get fired and go to another police department somewhere else and do that same kind of harm. I envision that when we think about how to deal with that 5%, we're thinking about with data, with experts coming to the table and saying what has worked and what hasn't worked. So I know those fears are valid, but I want folks to remember the data to support that 5%, that number nationally. It's an important number to remember, but it's something that we can plan for. So what I am really excited about in terms of Dream of This Space is taking out that 95% of the police department as soon as possible, investing in communities that actually get us the results and the responses that we need, and dreaming up this new system. You have to dream, but you can't let that dream stop if you're not willing to defund. So from my perspective, I just want those folks to do some research, to learn a little bit more about not just those national statistics, but also locally in terms of how our police, in terms of the data, in terms of how effective they are in solving those places. Yeah, I would like our society to see those values of community care reflected in all aspects.
I would like to give you the space. Let me know if there's anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to talk about.
Yeah, thank you for that. I would say, just in short, I'm looking for, and I keep saying visioning and dreaming, but I do want, you know, Oregonians to realize that we can dream of something better together. And I'm looking forward to the investment that is needed for us to dream and to do that work effectively. We're going to need to have some substantial changes in the way that we understand public safety, one that has an intention of care and the intention of restorative justice, that practices restorative justice and safety without that violence, without that fear. Folks that I talk to, you know, around this great city and state, I'm hopeful that we can do what we need to do. But I want to be clear that reform has not worked, and I'm hoping that we can be bold leaders. Oregon is often known as leading on great things in our country. You know, we are one of the first to do, like, mail-in voting. We have great public transit systems. We've invested in the right things in the past, and it's time for us to invest in equity now. It's a time for us to put, you know, the lives of Black and brown folks, you know, at the forefront. It's a time for us to actually put those equity statements, those goals, all those trainings that we've been to the test, and actually in this moment step up and make some bold decisions. So I'm looking forward to dreaming with folks. I'm also looking forward for folks to join us in this process. If you go to defundppb.org, you could also go to either PALF.org or our sister organization, PALFActionFund.org, and you can learn all about our programming And I also do, I want folks to be down for us for the long haul. You know, this is, you know, I've seen uprisings, you know, like this. I've seen companies, you know, proclaim that they care about Black Lives Matter, and then, you know, a couple months go back to business as usual. And I'm really encouraging us to look critically, not only at the systems that we are navigating, but also internally, to make sure that we are interested and that we are, we're going to be staying in this fight for the long haul, because it's going to take all of us to get to the future that we need to have.
This is Claire Rosciotto with KBOO Evening News.